Business Shift.
Business Shift.
The podcast for decision makers and executives who want to deal with the topic of sustainability in a sustainable way.
Welcome to Business Shift, the sustainability podcast from TÜV Rheinland People and Business Assurance. My name is Max Birkenmeier, and I'm thrilled that you have decided to listen to us. Imagine this. A company manufactures a modern electric vehicle. It needs lithium for the battery, rare earth elements for its electric motor, cobalt, nickel, and copper. All materials that come from predominantly from a single region of the world and whose export has been increasingly subject to government control since April 2025. Today, we are discussing an issue that is currently shaking the industry to its core. Who controls the materials used to build the products of the future? And how can companies regain genuine strategic control through circular economy practices and independent verification? Joining me today are two experts who know this topic not just in theory. Dr. Bahatschat Krause is Global Head of Sustainability at TÜV Rheinland People and Business Assurance and co-host of Business Shift. Baha.
Hi, Max. Nice to see you.
And Pan Ding is Sustainability Manager at TÜV Rheinland Greater China and has directly supported and played a key role in developing the project with NIO, the car-to-car loop. Pan, welcome. It's great to have you here today.
Hello, Max. Hello, Dr. Baha.
Hey, Pan.
So NIO is a Chinese electric vehicle manufacturer founded in 2014 in Shanghai. The company is one of China's best-known EV brands and has been listed to the New York Stock Exchange since 2018. NIO is known for its battery as a service model, so BaaS. Customers purchase the vehicle without a battery and swap detected batteries for ones at automated swapping stations. This structurally differentiates NIO from Tesla and other EV manufacturers. In the context of Business Shift, NIO is relevant as TÜV Rheinland's partner in the car-to-car loop. So the first closed-loop system for metal components in China's automotive industry to be verified according to ISO 14021. But we will get later to that. Baha, let's dive directly in. Raw materials as a geographical hot topic. That sounds dramatic, is it?
Yes. To be honest, it's also not longer a metaphor, right? We have to say that since April 2025, China has been actively controlling the export of seven heavy metal rare earth elements. And beside that, European prices for rare earths have risen to six times the level of Chinese domestic prices. Yeah? And when talking about companies from the automotive sector in the US and also in Europe, they have had to scale back production lines because of that, yeah, because of the high costs. And well, we have to say that over 90% of the downstream value chain are all in Chinese hands. And this is not an isolated event, so it's a structural shift in the power dynamics surrounding critical materials.
Oh, Pan, you are in China. You see this up close. How are companies in China perceiving this shift?
Yeah, Chinese OEMs have long viewed the circular economy as both the environmental imperative and a core supply security strategy. And we see NIO's car-to-car loop is a concrete illustration. So this approach aligns closely with the Chinese national policy. I think, as you all know, the Chinese dual carbon targets, carbon peak before 2030, and the carbon neutrality by 2060. So the Chinese dual carbon targets have elevated the circular economy to a central pillar of industrial strategy. And we are noted, like, especially in China, that recent multi-ministry action plans explicitly encourage greater use of recycled materials, especially in the industrial for motor motive for the supply chain. So alongside the development of traceability standards and the certification system, so therefore we observe the rising demand for credible verification and transparency. And today's topic about NIO and the TÜV Rheinland cases is also a good one to reflect this policy direction. And we see international active, especially for lead companies, they must operate effectively across two distinct frameworks. The first one is more about EU's regulatory, and the second one is China's policy focused on resource efficiency.
So, Pen, when we talk about raw materials, which one do you consider are the most critical and why?
Okay, so I mean, China, the manufacturing industry is a strategic pillar industry in China. So nearly all the raw materials involved in the manufacturing industry development, such as lithium, cobalt, nickel, aluminum, and even iron, are all crucial. And in particularly in China, as we have the dual carbon targets, so the countability, stability, and even low performance of the raw material are extremely important.
Oh, Baha, the EU is already responding with the Critical Raw Materials Act. So do you think that is enough?
Yeah, I mean, when talking about circular economy, I think so-called CRMA is a perfect and important first step, yeah, because it has binding targets. And this is what we need. And the targets are like 10% of domestic production, for example, but also 40% of domestic processing and 25% recycling by 2030. I mean, it sounds possible, but these are really tough goals. But to build up this processing capacity in Europe, I think this will take maybe 10, maybe 15 years. So in the short term, only recycling is really a good method to get more recycled material, which is really also needed. So the real problem, I think, is that a regulation creates a framework, but the industry has to act now. Frameworks are only, are pushing or the drivers for companies move forward also in the sustainability and also circular economy transition. But this is really the only strategy, and I mean circular economy, that really works in short term.
And super interesting question from my side. Could you please explain us the car-to-car loop? So what did you do with NIO and why is this so special?
The car-to-car loop project established a verified closed material loop. So from the end life of NIO vehicles, they are dismantled in the NIO manufacturer with targeted metal components collected separately, melted, refined, and recast into new NIO vehicles. We specifically verified 20% recycled content in wheel hubs and aluminum housing of AC compressors. So actually, it marks the first independent verified closed-loop systems focused on metal components in China's automotive industry, which moving beyond early efforts that center mainly on plastic. So we say we make a breakthrough from plastic to metal. And a standout feature is the implementation of variable tracking for every material flow, from dismantling to the recast, ensuring full train of costly visibility. And for the Intel project, from planning to the ISO certification was completed in 3 months. So it proving that the rapid practical circular system are achievable when supported by clear methodology and a good close function supply chain collaboration and experience working partners and led to Thailand.
Where you outlined, Pen, what you have done on the project with NIO, yeah? So which was the most demanding process in the project and how did that differ from what you have expected at the start?
I think the most important work is how to streamline the information or material flow between all the supply chain companies. Because different companies, they have different conditions. The grade of maturity is different. So we need to help them set up the traceability system. Then they can do the traceability work. And finally, we can do the verification work. So I think that's the key point.
Coming back to the, once again, to the car-to-car loop. Baha, why does a system like this needs independent verification? What do you think? Isn't it enough for NIO to document this itself?
Definitely no, because self-reporting and self-assessment is not a verification. So you have to keep in mind that a lot of environmental claims, nearly half of it in the EU, for example, were exaggerated as or false, and the pressure is really increasing because also in Europe you have regulation which wants to get rid of greenwashing. And if you do a self-assessment, then you have a high risk. But if you're using a standard like the standards we have used in that project, then you have an independent testing. You have someone who's auditing you on site and can document also your supply chain documents. So to summarize it, with an external verification, you can really decrease also your legal risks, but also the risks for your reputation, for example, when it comes to stakeholder communication. And that means investors' mistrust, for example, but also reporting obligations you may have, and also in the direction of your business partners. So with a verification, you can do a more credible communication, for example, can be really more compliant with regulation wherever you are located. And you, of course, also have a competitive advantage because the people trust the claims and commitments that are externally verified or audited.
Penn, as our expert, what does the process look like in practice? What exactly does TÜV Rheinland verify?
Yes, for the verification process, all our work follows a four-step methodology. So we work with NIO's sustainability team and also the supply chain partners to make a material flow mapping. You know, the mapping is about the detailed documentation of the entire supply chain from the end of like vehicle dismantling to remelting and the final reuse into the new cars. So that's the first thing. And the second step, we need to do the offsite and onsite audits. All supply chain partners are involved. So TÜV Rheinland, we are going to verify the processes, documentations, and also the quality controls. So for the third one is about the cross-tracking of the record platform. Actually, NIO, in order to, in terms to build a car-to-car loop, so develop a digital platform. So actually, TÜV Rheinland need to do the cross-tracking against not just against the physical evidence, and so we can do physical evidence replication and also to check all the evidence from the digital platform. So that's the dual verification. And the last one is about the certification. So we do precisely the calculation about recycled content of components in accordance to the ISO 14021 standard. So that's all the process. And our team think this result is not just a result for one individual project, but can be scaled efficiently to additional components, even other materials and other supplies, well, to meet both Chinese industrial expectations and also maybe in the future to meet the European regulatory standards.
And you just mentioned the digital tracking was one of the key elements, right? So this is really interesting. So did you use for the verification and audit on site the existing infrastructure, or was it like something that you have built by your own system? How did it work?
Yes, actually, this digital platform is developed by NIO. The target of NIO is to use integrated system which can trace all the supply chain companies' material flowing into NIO, and including a lot of information like the type, like the parameters, and also the quantity of the raw materials. So actually, we are now doing the physical on-site verification. And in the final phase, we also go to NIO's company, and we check all the data indicated in NIO's digital platform.
And you said that all data also from the suppliers are part of the system, right? So are these real data, so primary data, or are these more assumptions or general data that is used?
So for the NIO's digital platform, so I think the both the primary data, like the primary material data sheet, which is original one, which will be uploaded to the NIO's platform, but also for some recycled content calculation. So there will be used some calculation logistics to do this calculation. So I think they are both. And at this time, I think it's a pilot version. Not all the supply chain companies are included, but I think maybe 10 or 20% supply chain companies are included, right?
Yeah, so and
they
it's
are
a process,
still developing
right?
it. Yes, it's a process. They are working on it.
Yeah, it really sounds like a big and challenging project.
Yes.
What do you think were the biggest challenges in this project you had to tackle with?
Oh, I think, as I mentioned before, I think the key challenge is more about the data traceability and the transparency of the data between all the supply chain companies, because these are all different companies and the grade of maturity are all different. So how we can enable the traceability and we can do verification is a big issue. In the project, our team do a lot of work like standardized data templates. We provide the data sheets for the supply chain companies to help to guide them how to fill all the information we needed. And also we do the on-site target training to help them to build up the traceability systems. And I think another important point is to shift the surprise view to this project, because this project, when you say this project is our common career. So we say, let's work together. So yeah, I think all the supply chain companies, I think they overcome the difficulties. And finally, we got the pilot result.
I think that's great, yeah. And I would like to highlight that again, yeah, because talking to your suppliers and try to also do some skill building, yeah, also such kind of barriers is so important, yeah. And I really like what you say, because I think this is key, yeah, and this will be also a key element to become much better, yeah, than today. And this is, as I just mentioned, it's a process, but it's a learning curve that NIO and also their suppliers need to do together, right?
Yeah, that's right, Dr. Baha. Yeah, we say, I also want to share more, like after certification results was released, and TÜV Holland, we cooperate with NIO and also the supply chain companies. We developed a white paper, which now serves as an implementation guide to documenting all the these license or all the experience in this project for broader industrial adoption. I think, yeah, it's very informative.
Definitely. So when you mentioned the supplier, yeah, so many companies in Europe say, we don't really have that much influence over our supply chain. What do you say to that?
I say that's wrong, because most of the risk is really in the supply chain, because most of the raw materials and impacts are in the supply chain. And this is not to bash them. I mean, it's a reality. Yeah, of course, if you're producing, then you may have high risks. And it's scope three that we are always talking about, yeah, to really also your suppliers and the production downstream and also upstream into your, how to say, your measurements, yeah, to really find the highest impact so that you can, yeah, develop measures and also talk to your suppliers and try to fix them in a joint approach, I would say. What is also important, what you said, Pen, is that it's also communication tool. You mentioned the white paper, right? So others can learn also from learnings from NIO. And I think this is really, really important. And I think the most important thing to say here is to move together. Yeah, move together with your suppliers. Sometimes convince them to be part of the system, of the circular economy system, which has more positive effects than negative, and to do the journey together. And those who wait, yeah, until regulation is in force is maybe too late. And I think it's a very good approach.
Pen, what do you think can companies outside of China learn from the NIO model?
Yes, I think the model can be promoted, because we think its core principles like the material flow tracking and the clear process accountability and the independent third-party verification, nearly the same. So there is no massive capital investment was required. As long as the supply chain companies, they are willing to join us and they can build up an effective traceability system. So I think the verification work can be done. And I think this approach is particularly relevant for Europe. You know, there are some regulations like the battery regulations where mandate detailed recycled content. of the battery and the information of the carbon footprint, and also the material origin data, I think this model can be duplicated to Europe. And I think our team is willing to act as a bridge to share the good practice in China to EU, to maybe to meet European regulatory standards in the future.
Maybe to just summarize it a little bit. And so if you had to explain really to a European CFO tomorrow or today why circular economy and especially verified circular economy is an investment and not costs, what would you say?
So I think the Europe for this approach is also particularly relevant. We noticed that there are the regulations, some relevant regulations called like battery regulations. This will mandate detailed recycled content of the battery and also information about the material origin data. And a bit, but we noticed that the maturity of supply chain companies in Europe compared to China, maybe for the companies in EU's supply chain, they still need to develop. And for right now, if there are some work that can be done in advance, I think in the future, there are costs and there are the EU regulatory standards. So when we consider the long-term economic benefits, so if we can start to work as early as possible and maybe some Chinese experience can be applied earlier, maybe the investment in the later will be decreased.
Yeah, also to prevent themselves, right? And to prevent and also prepare themselves.
Yes. To prepare.
Yeah, I agree.
Good point. So what do you see, which industries beyond the automotive sector should really act right now?
So I think from my perspective in China, I think it's a battery industry and energy storage industry. In China, we have a five-year plan and 2026 is the first year of China's 15th five-year plan. So in the five-year plan, explicitly listed the battery and energy storage industries as strategic industries in China. And we noticed that the companies in these industries, they all want to develop overseas markets, especially Europe. So if they want to meet EU regulations, particularly those concerning recycled materials in the battery regulations, these companies need to immediately begin the work about recycled material.
Baha, question for you. How do you think can we prevent the circular economy from being a mere reporting exercise?
I think the most important thing is when it comes to circular economy that also internal structures to really operationalize and integrate circular economy topics into your strategy, into your processes, into your operations. Yeah, and this includes also suppliers that we have talked a lot about it, because you have to also when it comes to business units like procurement, etc., they need to know what kind of KPIs, for example, what kind of partner purchasing contracts they need to implement to become more circular, also when it comes to recycling materials, for example. So it's not only about reporting, and I'm always saying that reporting is the last step in sustainability, because the whole work is before reporting, because you need all KPIs, all your measures somehow documented. You need to have verification before you report, for example, and the workload is before reporting. Yeah, so you cannot, from my point of view, currently not report only and do nothing in the back. And I think that especially the NEO model shows that when units like production, like procurement and the sustainability team is sitting together at one table, you're really able to drive the real change, because otherwise you are in your company, you are maybe in your silo, and you can, of course, become better, but not that good as it would be possible.
Definitely. So, Pen, how do you think, how will the NEO and TÜV Rheinland project evolve? What's coming next?
Well, from my perspective, I think there are two directions. The first direction, I think we can expand it into battery recycling, which is technically more complex, but also significant. The current verification methodology is more about the physical processes. Well, for the battery recycling, which involves chemical reactions, so it's more challenging, but right now we are working on it. And the second direction is to scale the car-to-car loop from a successful pilot into a verified industry benchmark. So it involves spending to, I'd say, the other components, more suppliers, and further more materials. So in the long term, we aim to position the model as a practical case for the automotive value chain to extending well beyond China. So that's what we want to do next.
Awesome. So Bahara, if you look a few years ahead, how will material control change business models?
So it will change business models for sure, because we have resource scarcity, yeah, and it's not a future problem, it's a problem that we are facing right now, right? So also when talking about energy, also when talking about raw materials, companies will really plan differently than they are doing today. Also, product design is going to change. It has to change, because when we are talking about resilience, you need to be future-proof, right? And this means also that you have to redesign and maybe innovate your products. Yeah. So, and this will also bring a business shift with it. So new business models who, for example, offer more verified, also secondary raw materials will have a structural cost advantage. This is for sure. And I think when it also comes to financing, then banks and also investors will factor raw material risks into due diligence and loan terms. Those who really establish verified circular systems today will have a lead in 5 years, and that will be nearly impossible to catch up if you don't start now and if you're waiting. Coming back to your question, circular economy will control, yeah, business models, and it's crucial. So for me, it's not an option.
Yes, yes.
So especially for our listeners, what is the one first step a company can take tomorrow morning?
Take a real and hard look on your material consumption. Be aware and manage and assess where your main impacts are, where your risks are, and also define responsibility, structures within the company, so that is really clear that it's not on one person. So it's really a joint approach internally, not only with suppliers, but also with the different business units in the company. This would be the very next step for tomorrow, from my point of view. Pen, what's your opinion?
Well, from my point of view, I think the truth comes from practice. So I think the company should take actions and start the pilot work. And look at NIO. We see the cars, the price of NIO's car is really good. So I think all the stuff behind the good price, as they do a lot of work in advance. Partnering, I think, for the company, I think if they want really to do something, just to start it right now.
Yeah, and don't wait for perfection, right? So start with what's possible today. I think that's the main message I would like to share.
Yes.
Pen, Bahar, thank you very much. Today you've made tangible a topic that sounds technical at first glance, but it's at its core highly political and highly strategic. So who controls the materials from which the future is built? Pen, I'm particularly impressed that you've shown with NIO it's not just possible, it's doable. In 3 months with measurable results as a recognized industry model. That's not a promise for the future, that's the present. What do I take away from this conversation? First, the raw material crisis is no longer a future issue. It arrived in factory floors in April 2025 with Chinese export controls in the form of production halts, skyrocketing prices, and strategic dependence that suddenly proves to be a risk. Anyone who still believes this is a problem for later is wrong. Second, recycling alone is not enough. Verification is needed. The difference between a recycling claim and the verified recycling content, according to ISO 14021, is the difference between marketing and strategy. And this distinction is being demanded with increasing consistency through regulation, investor pressure, and lawsuits. And third, this is the most encouraging part, those who act will win. The new Tüv-Rheinland model shows that genuine material control is possible through a circular economy and that it doesn't take decades. The companies that start today will have a lead in 5 years that others will struggle to catch up. To you, dear listeners, thank you for listening. If you want to better understand how to gain strategic control over your material flows and what that means for your company's future viability, then subscribe to Business Shift. We bring the most important insights on sustainable business management, innovation, and transformation. Delivered resource efficiency straight to your ear. As always, you can find more information about today's episode in our show notes. I'm Max Birkenmeier and I say, the future won't wait. So let's start actively shaping it. Until next time.
Business Shift.
Business Shift.
The podcast for decision makers and executives who want to deal with the topic of sustainability in a sustainable way. Stay curious.
Bye-bye.